Welcome back. This is the Confident Collective podcast, and we are your hosts. I'm Ryan.
And I'm Christina. We are curb models, content creators, and some would even say comedians.
We started the Confident Collective podcast to help you live your most confident life by sharing our stories and sitting down with experts to talk about, well, life.
We chat sex, dating, business, relationships, and so much more. We hope you love this episode, so let's get into it.
Okay, so I've been like waiting to hard launch, Gabe, because I just want to have like a good hard launch. You know what I mean? And the other day he was like doing this video and I was like, oh, I want to be in it. Like kind of just like joking. And then he took a video and he was like, do you mind if I post it? And I was like, okay, that's fine. You can post it. Like his videos get like no views. He gets like 1,000 like views on a video. I was like, okay, that's fine. Post it. This video went viral. It has like 200,000 views. And also like, I love you guys because all the comments are like, oh my God, Ryan. It popped off. But I'm so pissed because I look so awkward. Like I'm like, I don't know what it was. It was just like a lot going on. It was just like, I didn't know what he was going to say. And like, I still get uncomfortable. Like when he, like, he's so vocal about like how sexy he thinks I am and all this stuff. And sometimes I still like, I love it, but sometimes I like still get like nervous. I'm like, oh my God. And I look so awkward. And now he like stole my hard launch. I was like, oh my God, what the heck? I'm like, you stole my hard launch.
He's like, he did steal your hard launch.
I was like, he's like, oh my God, do you want me to delete it? Are you mad? I was like, no, I don't give a fuck, but like, it's fine.
But he's kind of
like,
loving it.
But my hard, he's like, Ray has 100,000 views. He's like going through the comments. It's all like Ray. He's like, they don't even care who I am. And I'm like, well, sorry.
You're
he's
like, how would you expect? He's thought like, you're the star here?
Yeah. What the hell? So anyway, if you saw his TikTok that popped up on your For You page, you got a sneak peek. For if you're not on Patreon, those Patreon got the first look. Whoever saw Gabe's TikTok got the second. And now my hard launch has to be so good because I want to look really hot and like look good. You know what I mean? And so anyway.
Okay, a couple things. One, you did look awkward. I'm not going to lie. I was like, no, you're overthinking it. However, who cares?
Yeah, who cares?
Who cares?
I looked so weird. But whatever.
Everyone knows how hot you are. Second of all, I loved the Q&A you did on Patreon of how you guys met. And I feel like if you guys haven't watched that yet, you need to. Because I feel like you also gave like really good dating tips for people who are trying to find a relationship.
Yeah, I did like how to meet men in real life and like broke down some tips on how to meet men off the dating apps. Because when I met Gabe, I wasn't on the dating apps. So that was my latest Patreon episode. So go listen.
Go listen to it. And two, it's funny that you say like you didn't know what he was going to say. Because Steve is very comfortable being in my content. But the one thing he gets really mad about or just annoyed about is that he's like, you have the idea in your head. You know what you're going to say, but you don't vocalize it to me.
Oh,
all
so
of
he,
a sudden, you just put the camera on me. And I'm like,
he's like, okay, what's the plan here?
What's the plan? And
yes.
So it was kind of that sort of thing. And I'm like, oh, I guess that could be annoying.
Yeah, I was like, I didn't know what he was going to do. So I was like, wait, what are we going to like chop this up? Like, what's the vision?
What's the vision?
I didn't know the vision. So then I was just kind of standing there like, well, what's the vision? And I'm like, I wasn't adequately prepped for the video. Okay.
I get it.
He looks great.
And I understand. Was like, I understand Steve's perspective now as well, too.
God, it's just really hard, you know?
It's so hard being the star. Okay, so we went to Washington, D.C.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a very interesting week. It was honestly a lot of fun, but going on a road trip with two kids poses its challenges. The boys were so good, but we get to D.C. We got there a day early because we were going to the White House for Easter, right? And there was a cherry blossom festival going on. And you guys know me. Like, I love flowers. Like, I really do.
You do.
And, like, flowering trees, like, really bring me so much joy. And the last time I was in D.C. for the cherry blossom festival there because, you know, cherry blossoms, I think, originated in Japan. And the Japanese donated all of these and gifted them to the Americans. And it's, like, all around the Jefferson Memorial. And, like, it's so stunning. And Steve and I went there, like, 13 years ago before we, like, moved to L.A. And it was really exciting to, like, go back. But it was chaotic. There was so much traffic there. There was a festival going on. There was no parking lots. We wanted to do, like, the pedal boats. The guy's like, there's normally a lot here. They close down all the lots. There's literally nowhere to park. So we just drove for 4 hours. And we're like, oh, my gosh. Like, this is so annoying. So I see this police officer. And I was like, Steve, go ask that police officer. We're driving. I was driving. I was like, ask the police officer where we could park. So he starts making fun of me. He's like, you want me to scream across three lanes? Excuse me, officer, where can we park?
I can hear Steve saying that right now.
Exactly. And I was like getting so mad. I was like, you can't just ask him. He's like, he's literally three lanes away, Christina. So I'm like, and I go closer. And he's like, I'm like, I rolled down the window. I'm making him ask. He's like, excuse me, officer, do you have any idea where there's parking? He's like, all the lots are closed. He's like, I'm so sorry, man. And then he goes, you know what, though? Thank God we're related. Follow me.
Related?
He opened up these gates for us and allowed us to park in the most amazing prime parking spot ever. He's like, if anyone asks, you're my cousin. He was black, right? We're clearly not black. He was like, you're my cousin by marriage. He was like, you can park here. I have to leave by 6:30. You just got to be gone before 6:30.
Was Steve like, thank God you had me
ask? No, of course. He doesn't fucking thank me or give me any credit at all. Are you kidding me? And of course, I was like, thank God we asked that police officer the whole entire day. So where he let us park was only for park rangers. And he let us park there. So anyways, this is why I'm like, squeaky wheel gets the grease. You always got to ask.
Yeah, you got to ask.
You got to ask. So that happened. And then we went to the White House for the Easter egg roll. And again, another thing I'm going to complain about, Steve. I told, because our options, like we had a couple options for what to do for spring break because Nicholas was off this week. And I really wanted to just go to Florida or like go somewhere and sit at a hotel on the beach. Or we were thinking about going to LA for a week and visiting Steve's family. But then we have complications with who's watching Due. Anyways, and then we got invited to the White House Easter egg roll. And Steve's like, I think we should go. Like, that's like a really cool experience. Like, we're probably never going to go again. We got invited. Let's just go.
Yeah.
So I sent him all the details for it. Of course, he didn't open it once. And it's not like this was like a private event. It was like there was a lot of people there and you had to wait in line to get in. And Steve was so annoyed we had to wait in line. He kept being like, this is the fire festival of Easter egg hunts. I'm like, Steve.
He kept saying the fire festival.
And I'm like, can you shut the fuck up? We're like, have some composure at the White House. I'm like, oh my gosh.
Because it was just chaos?
It wasn't even like that chaotic, honestly. It was just like.
He just thought he was getting a different experience.
He was just like. And I was like, I sent you all the information. He's like, I don't have time to click on the link. I'm like, okay. And then it was just like kind of funny that he kept calling it the Fire Festival of Easter Egg Hunts. So he just kept like going with that joke. And he was like, let's document this. Like it was raining a little bit. So there was mud in one point. Like, it was just, these are natural elements. Okay. Like there's nothing you can do. He's like, let's videotape the mud. He's like, this is part of the fire festival. I was like, oh my gosh. So anyways, we almost got kicked out. Not really. But in my head, that could have happened.
For dramatic effect, we'll go with
that. For dramatic effect, we almost got kicked out of the White House. And let's lead with that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, it looked so cute. But yeah, I was with Steve. Like, I didn't realize it was such a big thing. Like, I kind of thought you guys were invited to a more exclusive thing.
Yeah.
So Steve and I were both on the same page.
Yeah, you both led me wrong. Because I was asking where I was like, do you think we should go to this? And you're like, yeah, absolutely.
No, I was like, yeah, you got invited to the White House? Of course you should go. Like,
no, honestly, I'm actually really happy we won. It was so freaking cute.
Yeah.
It was really good.
The boys look so cute in their little jackets.
The boys are so cute. And they were so good on this road trip. I couldn't believe it.
Wow.
And I did have to talk to Nicholas for 4 hours straight on the way home, which was fine.
Who needs quiet time? Not me.
No, not me. But there's no crying.
Yeah.
Huge win.
A huge win. Okay, my obsessed with this week is just been JoJo Siwa's rebrand. It's been so interesting to see it unfold. And okay, whenever we talk about like pop culture and things like that, I just want to be like careful. I want to be respectful. These are all human beings. But I do feel okay critiquing art. And we're going to classify this as art. What is going on? It is like, honestly, I feel like we've all been in that phase before where we're like trying to be cool. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like when they did this interview there, who was like, okay, JoJo, who would be like your dream podcast guest? And she was like, oh, I'm just going to say it. One of my exes. And she like backed away, then came back. It was just like so awkward. Like I had such secondhand embarrassment for her. Like I'm just like,
really? I did not see that one.
Oh my God. You'll see it and your skin will crawl. Like, it's just like we've all been there where we're trying to be cool and then you're going to look back and you're going to think, what was I doing? And it's just so interesting because she's trying to have like a Miley Cyrus Wrecking Ball kind of era.
That's exactly what
rebrand,
she's trying to do. Yeah.
But it's just not working. I don't know who her team is and I feel like this isn't good for JoJo.
How much time have you spent looking at JoJo Siwa's rebrand?
Too much time. I will admit, too much.
I will say one of the looks that she gave was giving me wrestler.
No, it was giving like Blades of Glory.
Yeah, right. She's like, what is happening here? I did not realize, though, how long JoJo Siwa has been in the limelight.
She's been in it for a long time.
I've never watched Dance Moms, but I did not know like she was started on that. I thought she was just like a YouTube sensation, like a YouTube kid.
She started on Dance Moms, and then she had like a huge following. Like kids were obsessed with her. She drives around with her Tesla in LA with her JoJo Siwa face posted all over it. I saw one video that was like, this is what I would do for her if I was her PR. She's like, the Tesla has got to go.
I'm looking up her net worth. I'm just very curious right
now. She's like, I mean, who knows what celebrities are actually, but like she's killed it.
No, she is
Like, kids were obsessed with her.
She's definitely at least, like, 20, 30 million.
Probably.
Easily. Because she has all those products and everything, too.
Did you not find, like, JoJo Siwa?
It said 27 million oh. net worth.
Yeah, interesting. Yeah. So that's just been taking up a lot of my brain capacity recently.
Okay, well, you know how I've been obsessed, obviously, with Vanderpump and The Valley?
Yeah.
Okay, so on The Valley, which is Vanderpump Rules spinoff, there is this couple. I've never hated a reality star the way I hate this man. His name is Jesse. He is such a fucking asshole. It is, like, hard for me to watch.
Really?
Yes, and it's interesting because him and his wife have already separated. And you see them going through couples counseling.
On the show.
On the show. And it's like, wow. It's just so interesting because a lot of times you see therapists on these sorts of reality shows. And sometimes it just, like, feels, like, scripted. This one, it's like you can see this couple and it's like this woman is so checked out. She is so...
The wife or the therapist?
The wife is so checked out. And honestly, like, if you're struggling in a relationship, it's just, like, fascinating to see these people because, one, you're going to either see and be like, oh, my gosh, I'm that girl. Like, I'm so checked out, too. Or you're going to be like, okay, like, there's hope for me in my relationship because this is, like, how far gone they are. But there's an example, like, in one episode, one of the castmates, like, kind of, like, hit his chest, like, and, like, pinched his nipple or something, like, teasing him. And he, like, did it right back to her and, like, pinched and, like, twisted her. I know. He, like, pinched and twisted her nipple. Like, what the hell? This is, like, what I'm saying.
Ew, I can, that story just painted the perfect picture of who this man is.
Exactly.
Perfect picture in my mind of who this man is.
Exactly. And he's so demeaning and so critical to his wife. And then they were all at a table and, like, there was, like, some drama going on with her and she was trying to, like, talking to defend herself and he was trying to say something and he literally put his hand up in front of her face. I know. I have that visual of him, like, putting his hand up to, like, get her to stop talking. I'm like, oh,
no,
dude, you know what I would fucking do to that guy? I would fucking, if someone did that to me, I would literally take his finger back and pull it as far back as I possibly.
I'd break his fucking wrist.
I would break his wrist. I would break his pinky for sure.
Wow.
I know.
This is really affecting you.
I mean, yeah, we're both, like, really.
We're both, like, very, like, I'm really affected by JoJo Siwa. You're very affected by The Valley.
I mean.
Oh, my God.
But isn't that triggering?
That's very triggering.
That's
I don't
crazy.
Like that. That's ew. Well, I'm so excited about today's episode
so
because
excited.
You know when we do an episode, I'm just like, oh my God, the girls are going to love that.
Yeah.
You are going to love that. We have on Emma Arletta today. Well, that's her Instagram name. That's not her real last name.
What's her real name?
Menard. Emma Menard
is her
last name. But Emma Arletta is her Instagram name. So that's like in my head, that's what
no,
it is.
That's
but
her name.
That's not her last name.
Yeah.
Anyway, she is like the face behind like the Big Girls movie. You've probably seen her on TikTok. Like, hey, Big Girls. She's a content creator. She just launched her first line of merch. And she's also just a friend of Christina and I's. Mm-hmm. And I just love hanging out with her. I love talking to her. And you all love her. And you're just going to love hearing her on the podcast.
I think she gives so much good, valuable advice to be more confident in your skin, dating as a plus size woman. She just like has all the tips and she's like younger than both of us. And I feel like so much wiser than both of us.
No, I forget that she's younger than me because she's just so wise. And whenever I talk to her about business stuff or just like advice on things, she just is so to the point. She's just no BS.
Yeah.
Not very emotional about things. She's just like, well, why would you do that? This makes way more sense.
Yeah, super and I'm like, direct.
You're so right.
Yeah.
Like she just thinks of things so simply. I'm like, wow.
You're like, oh, wow. I love to complicate
what
things.
What would that be like?
Imagine being that even keel.
What peace that must bring to you.
Literally no idea what that would feel like in this chaotic brain. Oh anyways, okay, let's welcome our friend Emma to the podcast. In the spirit of self-care, today's sponsor, OneSkin, is here to help you simplify your skincare regimen. Founded by four PhDs dedicated to skin longevity, OneSkin proves that you don't need a complicated routine to achieve better skin. Their topical supplements make it easy to help your skin stay younger and healthier without all the extra steps. Now, you guys know me. I love having gorgeous, radiant skin. But if I'm going to be honest, sometimes I don't even want to take off my makeup. I'm so tired. The boys have me crashing at night. So I cannot have a complicated routine. So what's OneSkin's secret? Because I need to simplify everything. OneSkin's proprietary OS1 peptide. It's the first ingredient scientifically proven to reduce the buildup of senescent cells. And those are those notorious zombie cells that contribute to skin aging. Fewer zombie cells mean healthier, younger looking skin with fewer lines and wrinkles, reduced age spots, and a stronger natural barrier. Something that's especially important this time of year. Something I get very insecure about is my dark spots and melasma. And I feel like my skin is looking so much more radiant and my dark patches are fading, which I'm so, so happy about. For a limited time, our listeners will get an exclusive 15% off their first OneSkin purchase using the code TCC when you check out at OneSkin.co. That's 15% off OneSkin.co with code TCC. And after you purchase, they'll ask where you heard about them. So please support our show and tell them we sent you. It's time to expect more from your skincare routine. Invest in the health of your skin with OneSkin.
Okay, Emma, so you're like blowing up on TikTok, blowing up on Instagram. You're killing it. You have built this big girl brand, which is amazing. Mm-hmm. But before we get into that, I want to like go back. Where did you grow up? What was your family like? Can you talk a little bit about like what your life was like growing up?
Yeah, so I grew up in Missouri, just like a typical Midwest
life. Midwest girl.
Not on a farm, like a lot of people think. But I have three siblings, so I grew up there. And then I went to college for speech therapy. And that's what I thought, like, that's going to be my job. I enjoyed posting on social media and stuff, but it wasn't anything like, you know, I couldn't make money from it. So during grad school, when I was finishing up my degree for speech therapy, that's when things kind of started to pick up. The last year, everybody was like back home for COVID. I was in the house and I posted a TikTok about being curvy and finding clothes. And it just like, I woke up the next morning with so many followers and I'm like, oh wait, this is something that people want to see. Like they want to see how I'm shopping and how to dress a curvy body. And I've lived in a big body my whole life. I've always was the big friend in elementary school even. So I just kind of started posting, and from there, things kind of took off. And then when I graduated, I ended up moving to LA, and I was a speech therapist. So I worked in the schools there for a year, which was really hard and challenging, but also very rewarding. But after that year, things just kind of took off for social media, and then I'd made the transition full-time into doing it.
Wait, I want to know a little bit more about your home life, because one, you're so close to your sister, Gabby. She's... You guys almost live together pretty much.
Yeah.
Oh, you
we're neighbors. Yeah, we used to live together.
And
yeah.
Then you also talk a lot about your mom and what it was like growing up with a thin mom, which I find so interesting because I talk a lot about that. And I'm like, that's a hard dynamic, like as a bigger child and like just bigger teenager growing up with a thin mom. And sometimes you guys post videos about it. I'm like, oh, I can't believe they said that out loud. Like, is their mom going to see it? Like, I get anxiety.
Oh, she does. She does
and
see what is it. She,
and like, okay, so can you give us an example of a video that you've made and her reaction to it?
Yeah. So I made a video that was like big girls with skinny moms. Like, how are we doing?
Yeah.
And it just got so many views because it's something that a lot of people can relate to, right?
For sure. Yeah.
And I think back to kind of like we know now what diet culture is and like we kind of grew up in it, but think about the generation before that. It's always like worse, right?
Yeah.
So when I talk about it with my mom, it's taken her a long time because every time I would bring it up, I think a lot of people can relate. Her reaction was always like very defensive.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I didn't say those things. I didn't, you know, like I remember telling her, like, I remember you telling me, you know, if you just lose 20 pounds, I'll take you on a shopping spree.
Yeah.
Right? I'll take you to justice and I'll let you pick out whatever you want. Looking back, I'm like, that's messed up.
She probably thought she was helping.
Yes, but in her head and what she grew up in, it was like, you need to be thin and skinny and that was the ideal.
Mm-hmm.
And we've had so many conversations. And I would say just in this past year, we finally had a conversation where she said, I'm sorry. Like, I just didn't know any better, and I was doing the best I could in the moment. And I'm like, that's literally all I've ever wanted to hear.
Right.
It's just you to say sorry. Like, even if you don't believe you said those things, like, this was my reality, and this is what I felt growing up.
Mm-hmm.
No matter what it was, like, all I wanted to hear is sorry. And so I think I had moms reach out that saw my video and were like, hey, I have a daughter. I'm thinner, and they're plus size. Like, what can I do?
Mm-hmm.
And I was just like, listen, and don't give solutions. Like, if they want to open up about their body size, the best thing you can do is just listen and almost validate what they're saying. But you can't relate to it.
Mm-hmm.
So don't try to give something. Like, just be a listening ear
and
a safe space for them. And that's all you can really do, I feel like.
Yeah, I think that's actually really good advice. And I totally get the feeling of, like, I don't care what your reality was. Like, this was my reality.
Yeah.
So just apologize.
Yeah, just, like, let's just say sorry and we can, like, move
like,
on
be
from
good.
It. Yeah, it's all right.
Yeah, that's so funny. Well, it was obviously super relatable to me and clearly a lot of other people too.
Yeah. No, my mom's actually moving in with me now.
Wait, no, I'm like, what is going on? So your mom is moving to LA.
Yeah. So she's moving this summer and she doesn't know where she's going to live yet, but she like wants to be close to me and my sister. So the setup right now is I literally like live upstairs and then like Gabby's in a separate unit like downstairs.
Yeah.
But like I can literally like throw her stuff over the balcony.
Yeah.
So it's going to be like family back
that's
together.
Gonna be so nice.
Yeah.
I love how close your mom you and Gabby are, like, the girls.
Yeah.
And you're close to your brothers, too.
Yeah, for sure.
And I love how you can, like, joke with this stuff about your mom, too. Because, like, it is serious, but also, like, kind of joking is kind of, like, open the door to, like, make it, like, okay, we can talk about
it. Yeah, and when you grow up, like, you finally realize, like, and I don't have kids of my own, but I'm, like, I finally, like, you see your parents for parents, and you're just like, okay, you know, I can.
They're like literally just human beings.
Yeah,
like
I'm also
to do
like
their
at
best.
My age. Have you guys seen the trend on TikTok right now, where it's like my parents at 23 getting married, and then it swipes, and it's like my brother at 23 like doing the Easter egg hunt.
Yeah,
like and it's like it's literally like, and yes. there's so many videos, and it's so true because I'm like, how are our parents having like four kids by the time they're 25? I'm 27.
I'm dead because like now that I'm like by all families, everyone around me has like at least 3 or 4 kids.
Yeah,
and I was just talking to my neighbor because she invited us over at her house for an Easter egg hunt.
Yeah,
and I was like, oh, we're not going to be there. She's like, oh, it'd be so fun to bring the kids. And I text her, I was like, how was the Easter egg hunt? And I sent her a photo of the kids. And she's like, it went so great. And she sent me a photo of the Easter egg hunt. And it was her 4 grown-ass adult children, all with baskets. They listen to the podcast. They're going to die. All with like baskets holding eggs. And I'm like, wait, they're all like, they're in their 30s. And they did the Easter egg hunt. It was so funny.
It
would have
been
exactly
the 30-year-olds with the kids. Yeah. It's just like,
no,
when are
no
we going to grow
it was
up?
Just that.
Yeah. Oh my God, that's so funny. Okay, and you and Gabby are so close. I love your sister dynamic.
Oh my gosh.
I think it's hilarious that you guys always ask, who do you think is older?
Yes.
And everyone says that Gabby is older.
Which is so weird. And I don't know. I was thinking about this. I feel like big girls can relate. I'm like, I think maybe just like rounder features, people think look younger.
Yeah, I think so.
But she did that TikTok trend where she asked. Ryan knows all about this.
I saw that too.
People were in the comments being so rude. And since then, it's like really affected her. So I'm like, Gabby, you don't actually look old. Like, come on. You know, like, be for real.
Okay, because I feel like Gabby gets, like, kind of a lot of, like, people are, like, sassy to her because she's kind of sassy. So I think people can, like, kind of come at her. And I feel like she's so good. Like, she doesn't really, like, give a fuck.
Yeah, but she's like, let's it go.
Yeah.
But with the age thing, she's like, I think I need to switch my hair or something. Like, you just, you know, you get in ruts where you just, like, don't feel like yourself. But she definitely gives, like, younger sister energy.
Yeah, I think you really give big sister energy.
Yeah, I think so, too. That's why I'm like, is it not so obvious? Like, when I got here, Ryan was like, did you see Gabby's close friend story? Yeah. And I'm like, what close friend story? And it's wild because I literally am on there sometimes. And when I get to be on the close friends, I'm like, I'm not saying anything. I'm not replying to one thing she says. I'm just going to be like quiet in the close friends and like happy to be here. And now I'm going to call her after this and be like, why am I not in there?
You're like, excuse me.
And who
me?
Were you hanging out with? Because I need to know.
Gabby, Ray and I are honored that we're both in close friends
also,
and
Gabby,
Emma's not.
Yeah, please don't take me out of the close friends. I'm like, I don't want my close friends to be revoked. Wait, this was a while ago, by the way. This was a while ago. Nothing new was happening.
Oh, okay. But I was thinking this was like today. I'm like, what the heck?
No, it wasn't today.
How do you guys deal with this sister dynamic, like living together, working together, assuming like being best friends? Like, I feel like you guys literally do everything together.
Yeah.
What is your favorite part about that and the most challenging part about that?
My favorite part is just having like, it's like your work bestie and your like best friend like built into one. So like we literally can talk about every single thing because she's doing it with me. Mm-hmm. So it's not like she's like a third party. Like I come home and I'm like, listen to this work story. Like she's in the work story. So she understands. I feel like our brothers are kind of competitive and have always been growing up. Mm-hmm. And me and her have never understood that. So when people ask, like, do you guys get competitive on like who's getting what deal and all those kind of things? And I'm like, no, I think we naturally just are like, this is just kind of what it is. Like, we both just happened upon it. So I don't have any negatives. I'm sure she would because she's, like, the younger sister.
She'd be like, oh, my God.
Yeah, she would have a lot to say if she was here. But I feel like it's all positives.
Gabby, you're coming on.
Yeah, we're going to do part 2 with Gabby. And hear Gabby.
She'd be like, Emma is a nightmare. Are you kidding
me? Guys, when we listen to your podcast together, we'll have to pause it and, like, break down things because we'll be cracking up so hard. And, like, her reaction to things and my reaction is so different, just, like, the age difference.
Yeah, really?
We were talking with our friends, and Avery was over, and we're like, have you guys seen Ryan's new boyfriend? And Avery's like, no. I'm like, well, I saw him on her close friends. And
okay, I need to put Avery on my close friends. I don't think she's on there.
And I was like, he's so cute, whatever, we're talking about it. And we start cracking up because we had told Avery the story about how you like paid the medium to like release all your love life, whatever.
That was fucking wild.
Gabby could not believe that. She thinks she's like, Ryan is cuckoo. Like, she's crazy in the head. Like, why would she ever pay that? And I'm like, well, that's weird because when I was listening, I thought I'd probably do the same thing if I was her, right? So we have the different point of view. But we were laughing so hard because Avery's like, it worked. The medium worked. She released all her love life. Ryan now has a man.
I literally, I'm sorry. We're giving that medium way.
I did not pay her $15,000, everyone.
Only 500. What did
Only
you pay?
Only 500.
Okay, but still, that's still wild.
That is
like,
actually
saying that out
still
loud.
That
like,
is still
most wild. People would be like, this is a scam. I'm not giving her like one more cent.
No.
But you're like, happily.
I was like, what's your Venmo? Okay, anyway, this isn't about me. Okay, this is about you. Okay, well, one thing I love about you is like, I think people don't see behind the scenes. They see like the content creation and everything. And like, I love talking to you and like having you as a friend in this business because like you are like a boss bitch. Like you Thanks. Mean business.
Yeah.
And because you start all your videos like, hey big girls. And now it's turned into the big girl brand. Like,
yeah.
Was there strategy behind that or was that just kind of like a natural evolution?
I think there's like multiple things that have gone into it because, of course, I think most people who start in this industry, you do it because you just enjoy sharing, you know, outfits or whatever it is that you share. A lot of the business mindset came from my now manager who I signed with as my first manager and I'm still with them. Mm-hmm. She taught me one of the biggest lessons is like a man will never be on an email thread when deals come through and like accept the first thing. But as women, we just are like happy to be there. Mm-hmm. So she taught me always ask for what you want. The worst thing somebody can say is no. And I was just like, oh my gosh. I was always like leading into the business mindset of like just happy to be there. Like whatever comes, I'll just be joyful that it's for me. Mm-hmm. But she was like, no, there's always more that you can get and ask for. So that's where I feel like she instilled in me the confidence of the business side of things.
Yeah.
And what about the branding part?
Okay, that was actually Gabby. She was helping. So we were sitting around and I noticed a lot of girls on TikTok were having some kind of catchphrase, right? Like when you scroll and you see their video, it's catchy. It's like you know them for that. You know their voice. And Gabby had a like the Finsta, like the fake Instagram, you know, or hidden one in high school of her and her best friend called Hefty Gels. It was like G-E-H-L-S. So and we still use it. Like people now from our high school, it's like a thing like, hey, gals, like people will say it. So we were like, what's a way we can do this? And I still like, I'm not comfortable with using the word fat. Like, I know that's a very, in this space, it's way more normalized, but it still triggers me. Like, I'm just trying to work on it. So I'm like, okay, I can't say fat girls because I feel weird saying it.
Yeah.
And so we came upon like saying big girls. Mm-hmm. And so I just started to say it. And now it's become a thing. So I wasn't like thinking of strategy, but I also kind of was just to be like, let me think of like a tagline.
Yeah. And now it works. And now you just.
Oh my gosh. Now people in public will like yell it across and be like, you're the big girls, big girl. And I'm like, yeah, that's me.
That's
like,
amazing though.
Yeah, it's good. It worked, right? Like people like recognize it now. So.
Okay. So for someone who is trying to like, maybe even if they don't work in the social media space, but selfishly, like I want this answer for me too.
Yeah.
What are some tips you can give to someone to like help them brand themselves either online or just in life in general? Because I feel like even when you're like working in a corporate world, like you still kind of want to be known for something.
Yeah, for sure. I think using your voice. And a lot of jobs now, like, you still have to advertise on social media. Mm-hmm. So everything doesn't need to be perfect. A big thing that our manager says, like, when you go to somebody's page, before you click on anything, if you follow them and you love them, like, when you think about your favorite influencer you follow, you know their voice in your head because they talk to you. And that's what's relatable. So I always say, like, if you're starting out, you don't need a game plan. You don't need to pick a niche. You don't need to like have XYZ and like a content calendar. Everybody thinks they need a content calendar. Mm-hmm. You don't need that. What you need is to literally put your phone up and talk as if you're on FaceTime. That's what I always think of. As if I'm calling my girlfriend, if you're talking about a product, right? Like, oh my gosh, I just got this. Like, how would you recommend it to a friend? Mm-hmm. I think that helps with branding and that's going to help your own voice come through rather than trying to be like a certain cookie cutter type of person and like strategize through everything.
Right. You know, it's funny. I was out to dinner with two girls last night and they were talking about celebrities and like being like a fangirl and like, who would you be so excited to meet? And both of them said they would be so excited to meet like an influencer, like Bravo celebrity versus like Taylor Swift, who they're obsessed with. They're like, I feel like with Taylor Swift, I literally wouldn't know what to talk to her about. They're like, oh, so like, how's the tour going? Yeah. But, like, with the other person, they feel like they hear her so much. She has a podcast. They're like, I could shoot the shit with her. Like, I would much rather meet her than, like, my favorite music artist because she's relatable to me.
Yeah, and, like, you know their inside jokes. You know what's going on in their life. Like, you know where Gabby lives, like, that we are so close to each other because you open up and share that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So another thing that I think is, like, just actual tangible tip is, like, put an email address in your bio. That's a big thing that people, like, when they start out, they don't know. Mm-hmm. And I remember starting out being like, how do you talk to brands, right? Like if I am doing this now and I'm doing it for fun, I've kind of got some traction. I've kind of found my voice. What's the next step? Mm-hmm. And I think it's like for somebody who's starting out, like put an email in there because that's a more of like formal way to talk to brands. Yeah. And I think once you get so deep into this, you forget those like simple things like that.
Yeah, because you're just like thinking
it's just
about
like your normal. Yeah.
Maybe I'm generalizing. But I do feel like a lot of people want to do social media and like want a sort of side hustle.
But even if
they
don't want to be an influencer, your job, whatever side hustle you want, you're going to have to do social media in some capacity.
Exactly.
To share whatever that side hustle is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think that creating content can feel so discouraging for people. So I guess, like, do you have any advice to just starting?
I think the thing is people will get in their mindset that, oh my gosh, everybody's already doing it. There's not a space for me in this space. And it's hard because, like, I did gain growth during COVID, which was a time where people were on TikTok freely giving away follows, freely giving away likes because it was a new app, right? So we can't go back in time. Like, we are where we are now. But I don't think that takes away from the ability to just do it. Mm-hmm. Every few months, there's somebody who's popping off, right? They're blowing up.
Yeah.
And guess what? They didn't start in COVID, right? Yeah. They're starting now. So I think get over yourself. There is a space for you. And if you truly want something, if you want to promote a business, if you want to promote yourself, literally the first step is put your phone up and take a video.
Yeah.
You just can't overthink it. Mm-hmm. You got to just do it. And it seems so simple, but it's just that.
It is just that.
Right?
That's such good advice because I'm trying to turn the man into an influencer. I'm trying to turn Gabe into an influencer. And it was, we had this conversation last night and I think I was getting too into like what are your brand pillars? I'm like, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, what do you want to talk about? And all the video ideas I give him are like regarding me. I'm like, maybe you should like do a video of you like making me a bouquet of flowers or something. He's like, my
I'm going to teach you how to be an influencer, but let's be clear, I'm the star here. Okay, right, it's right. All about me.
He's like, right, all the video ideas you're sending me are about you.
Actually, your niche is how I love Rayanne.
Your niches will be like your obsession with me, fashion. And I was like, oh, yeah. But I digress. You just need to like put your phone up and start. Like, I think I was even like, that's the most simple thing. Just put your phone up, start talking, start creating. And I feel like you can kind of get into the groove of it and maybe be like, okay, I want to like hone in here, hone in there later. Just put your phone up and start.
It's an experiment.
So funny because I'm trying to get Steve to become an influencer.
Okay, let's talk about Steve because I feel like I know Steve. Like, I after hearing you guys on the podcast, I've never met him. I don't think I ever have. And I'm just like, I need to know more about him. So I'm on the train for Steve being an influencer.
We need to have Steve come back on.
We do need to have
Steve. We haven't had him on in a long time.
He's so funny.
Oh my gosh, thanks.
He cracks me up.
Every time he comes on, people are like, we need more Steve. And I'm like, I think I really need to start listening to people. Because they keep asking for him.
Actually, I'm the star. Just like right
literally.
Here.
You're
like,
we both have
we're the problem.
You're like, pipe down. It's just
I am so self-aware that I know 1,000%. I'm the fucking problem, my relationship. But I'm worth it. Do you know what I mean? I know that too.
No, girls would come to our live show we did last year or 2 years ago now. And like one of the girls was like, literally, I'm just most excited to see you, Steve.
Yeah, isn't that so funny? No, but Steve used to be a bodybuilder and like fitness was his life.
Yeah.
And like he's still in amazing shape. But he keeps saying that, like, I have a fucking dad bod now. I have a dad bod now.
Oh my gosh.
Start a channel being, like, going from dad bod. Like, if this is a goal that you want.
Yeah.
I'm, like, documenting your journey going from, he keeps, like, going from dad bod to whatever you want to be.
Yeah.
And just start doing it.
Yeah.
So, anyways, I'm trying to get to be an influencer.
Because all of our men are becoming influencers. Yeah.
Okay. Well, this is a conversation. So, we were just on a brand trip in Thailand.
Yeah.
And, like, the last lunch, it was just, like, a couple of us girls. And the topic comes up. Like, would you date a content creator? Like, would you date a guy who does content?
Yeah.
And everybody's answer is always like, ew.
No.
Gives me the ick. Like, imagine them putting their tripod up and whatever, you know, and you're just like, and like pressing play and then having to like go back and like get ready and then go back and like stop the video and you're like, that's gross. But my boyfriend now has like kind of started getting into it, right? And I'm like, because I already love him so much, like seeing him as a beginner in something, it doesn't give you the ick.
Yeah.
But this is the thing. If you are dating and you meet a guy and he's already like popped off, he's like one of the top men creators, you would not have the ick about
it.
So I think it's like anybody being a beginner in something. Yeah. If you love them, it doesn't give you the ick, right?
Yeah.
Like if you really, truly love them. Like, I don't think I could ever date somebody who's, like, a comedian, or, like, who did stand-up. Like, that, to me, gives me the ick.
Wait, why?
Selton, do not like, become a comedian
anytime. I don't fucking think you're funny.
No, because I think about, like, imagine a beginner comedian, right? Like, it takes them a long time. You got to go to their shows and support them. And, like,
and
you
then,
have to
oh,
sit
God,
there and think, like,
funny.
Are people going to laugh at them? Like, I couldn't go through that.
And then, God forbid, a joke's about you.
Yeah, and I'm like, no.
What other careers would give you the ick?
Comedian, there's something. Oh, acting. A lot of girls say because then like kissing other people on the screen.
I mean, I do think you have a point. Unless you met someone who was like at the top of their game at their craft, like doing it, it wouldn't give me the ick.
Yeah.
But like when they're starting out, like it is kind of like, oh God, I just don't know what the fuck he's doing.
Yes.
But like also at the same time, I think that's such an admirable quality in a person who wants to learn something and try something new and like be bad at something. Like that's how we got started. I look back at my first videos and I'm like, what? Ew.
Oh my gosh.
I give myself the ick.
I would put like Snapchat filters on my videos and be like, places to shop. I would literally point. Yeah, I would like point to the top of the screen, like places to shop for plus size clothes.
No, me too. Yeah,
and I'm like smiling so hard. But I'm like, okay, that's where I started, and it got me to where I am at now.
Exactly. Okay, but let's talk about your love life.
Okay.
Okay, tell us how you met Selton, that kind of story, because I feel like I always see girls asking you about your love life on your Instagram stories. So I want to hear how you guys met, and then we'll kind of talk about like dating as a big girl.
So I met him on Hinge. Mm-hmm. I was in grad school in Oklahoma. And he went to a school in Oklahoma. We were like 30, 45 minutes apart, a drive. So we matched, we met. I didn't really like him at first. He knows this, so this is nothing new, if you're listening.
Like, sorry.
Yeah, sorry. But because it was so normal that it felt wrong. Like, it was just like, there was nothing like crazy. Like, you have in your head that when you meet somebody, it's like sparks are gonna fly. Of course, I was physically attracted to him, but I just like would leave and be like, okay, I feel kind of like indifferent, right? Like, I wanna see him again. So it just like took me a while.
Totally.
So it was very much like a slow burn. That's what I say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I kind of like that because I do feel like women, if it's not like a fucking hell yes on like the first date, like, oh my gosh, I want to like bone this person, marry them, whatever.
Yes.
They're like, not interested. But like, you do have to give people a chance.
Yes. And if you've come from very toxic relationships, and I have had pretty healthy relationships in the past, but the guy I dated right before Selton was cuckoo crazy. Mm. I'll have to just tell the story because it's so funny.
Yeah, we want to hear.
So he wasn't, So I don't think that he likes either me or women. That's what I think, like after, in retrospect. But we would get in like crazy, like yelling matches, and I don't even know what they were about, but he lived in Dallas. So I had also met him on a dating app. He was in Oklahoma, and that's how we met. And we had gotten into this like yelling match. I'm like, I'm leaving, I'm driving home, whatever. So I like go to my car and it was late at night. And I'm like, am I really gonna drive home right now? Like, I should maybe just stay on the couch, whatever. So we're texting and he's like, just come back in, whatever. So I go back down into his apartment and I come in and all the lights are off. And he had just moved. So I didn't know his apartment very well. It was like my first time being there.
I'm scared.
And all the lights were off and he wasn't answering me. So I knew he was in there and I'm like, turn the lights on. Like, what the heck? Like, you're scaring me. This is not funny. Like, turn the, and he, silence. And I'm like, you're crazy. And then I turned the lights on and he was sitting in the middle of the room, like on like a bar stool, which like wasn't.
What the fuck?
Right?
That's not cuckoo. That's psychotic.
Yeah. And he's like laughing. Like, he thought it was so funny. And I'm like, this is not funny.
Ew.
And I think
scared.
I did end up staying on the couch and then leaving, which is like, when you look back, you're like, why did I do that? Right?
Yeah.
Like, whatever. But so when I met Selton, it felt so normal that I was like, it's not bad. Like, there's nothing
like, why aren't we screaming at each
other? Yeah, like, this is just, like, normal. And I wasn't, like, unattracted to him. Because I think there's a difference between, like, people going on a date and I try to be like, okay, just try one more date. And they're like, no. Like,
yeah.
I wasn't whatever. Like, you know in your gut, and women underplay that. Like, you know exactly in your gut the first few times you meet somebody, whether they're a good person, if they're not a good person, if they give you the ick, if you're actually attracted to them.
Yeah.
So if in your gut you don't have an answer yet and it's like going good, I feel like give them another chance, right, to figure it out.
Okay, two questions on this. One, where did it change from just being like, okay, normal to like, wait, there's something here?
Yeah.
And is there anything that he did in the early stages or even now that does give you the ick?
No, now he doesn't give me the ick at all. Now I'm like, wow, I'm so happy I like stuck it out and just like figured out what was going to be on the other side, because it's so special once you get to the like inside of who he is, because he doesn't show that to everybody. And that's what at the beginning I was getting, was just very much like feeling each other out. He wasn't like kind of showing me everything.
Yeah.
And as the layers peeled back, I'm like, it's way better than I ever could have imagined. So when I first like really was like, okay, I like this guy, it was like 5 months in. And we hadn't seen each other a lot because we lived 45 minutes away from each other. And it was holidays. So I met him in October. Mm. And then we were traveling. And in college, you go home for like over a month, right?
True, yeah.
So it was like February. He came to my apartment for the first time. And he like stayed for the whole weekend. He ended up like getting sick. And like I was helping like take care of him, whatever. And when he left, the next morning I woke up and I'm like, I really miss him being here. And so I'm like, okay, this is how I know that I like him. And he looks back because I ask him, like, when did you know? And he's like, the weekend that you took care of me.
Aww.
It's that thing. I've been seeing it on TikTok, too, that, like, men love a nurturer.
Yeah.
And I didn't even think about it as that. But, like, that's his moment where he was like, oh, I really, like, I can see a future because when I needed help, like, she really took care of me.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, okay, I'm not your mother, but that's sweet.
You're like, that's so sweet. Like, chill.
No, but also, I kind of think, like, men are actually that simple.
Yeah.
Like, they just want to be taken care of in a certain way. And
yeah.
And they want to be loved. And I honestly think, like, it's literally as easy as that.
Well, I think dating, like, as a big girl is so hard. And there were so many times when you look back on it, now you can see clearly.
Mm-hmm.
But there are so many things that I just like settled less for. And now it just like is so easy and just makes sense. And I know you have talked about that like in this beginning of your relationship. And it just makes it all worth it. So I feel like if you're single like right now, like I just wish I could like go back in time and grab myself and be like, you're right. You're going to end up with somebody so good. And like you just got to get through figuring it out.
And do you feel like you settled for things because you were like, oh, I'm a big girl. This guy likes me. This is what I get.
I don't think anybody like has that exact thought in their head. Like nobody, I feel like, in their life wants to be like, I want to be with a bad person, right? Like I would hope that we don't deserve that. But looking back now, I know that's what I was thinking, right?
Yeah.
But as I dated more, it almost like released me of that because I would find out that guys wanted me, like I am their type. And that's a big thing that I always like share on social media when people are asking me questions about dating is I'm like, just like you have a type, you are somebody's type exactly as you are right now.
Yeah.
Like somebody's going to look at you and love you for you exactly as you are. Mm-hmm. So you don't need to change yourself. You don't need to get skinny. You don't need to be somebody you're not. And it will come so easily when you meet somebody. They're just going to love you completely and fully.
Yeah.
And it's going to be like, oh, wow. This is how it's supposed to be.
You're like, oh, amazing.
Yeah, wow. It's all worth it.
Yeah. No, I agree. I feel like in the moment, you don't realize that's maybe what you're doing. But like they say, well, it kind of says 2020.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, yeah, you know, like I put up with way too much stuff probably because I didn't have the confidence that I do now.
Yeah. I've been seeing a video that was going viral and it was saying you can tell how much a woman loves herself by her partner. And it's kind of like, it's like kind of like rewording, like you accept the love you think you deserve, right? Mm. But I think when you word it as that, like when you have a friend who has a partner that you're like, oh my gosh, girl, like you're so much better than this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That sometimes it is like you have to kind of take the accountability to be like, I as a person am accepting my partner who's treating me like this. Yeah. And that says a lot about me too and not just them.
Yeah.
That's deep.
I know. I was like, oh God. In the spirit of self-care, today's sponsor, OneSkin, is here to help you simplify your skincare regimen. I don't know about you, but winter has been rough on my skin and I am ready for warmer weather because I just feel like my hottest self and my skin feels better too. OneSkin was founded by 4 PhDs dedicated to skin longevity. OneSkin proves you don't need a complicated routine to achieve better skin. The secret is OneSkin's proprietary OS1 peptide. It is the first ingredient scientifically proven to reduce the buildup of senescent cells. Those are the zombie cells that contribute to skin aging. So fewer zombie cells means healthier, younger-looking skin with fewer lines and wrinkles. I want my skin to look healthy and glowing as we move into the warmer months, and OneSkin will help make sure your skin is ready to come out of that winter hibernation. For a limited time, our listeners will get an exclusive 15% off their first OneSkin purchase using the code TCC when you check out at OneSkin.co. OneSkin is more than skincare. It's about skin longevity, targeting the root causes of aging to help you look and feel your best at every age. Get started with 15% off using code TCC at OneSkin.co. That's 15% off OneSkin.co with code TCC. After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them, so please support our show and tell them we sent you. It's time to expect more from your skincare routine. Invest in the health of your skin with OneSkin.
As like the internet's big girl who I feel like is always promoting confidence in a way, how do you feel about your confidence journey and how do you feel about your body now?
Yeah. So we talked about my mom, right? That like she kind of had that old mindset of like thin is it, right? And my dad on the opposite side like has always been heavier. He grew up with the sisters who are like thicker women. And he from a very young age like drilled into us like beauty comes from inside, right? Mm-hmm. And that is a really good message to hear as a young person. Now it's like, who cares what size your outside looks like? It's kind of like, if you're not thin, I hope you have a good personality because that's what really matters, right? That's kind of messed up. But I think as a child to hear that, it is so important that you build yourself up because at the end of the day, like, yes, in our world, looks do matter, but like who you are and how you make people feel is so much more important. Mm-hmm. So I think because of him saying that, I always found worth so much more in like accomplishments and relationships and things like that. Mm-hmm. And so that was always instilled in me. And of course, I think because of society, things came out in my life of like me dating people that treat me horribly, who hid in the dark and whatever.
Like maybe almost killed you, thought about it for a second.
Who did not like me. But I think those things come out, but you always have to come back to that core of like, who am I? And like building confidence in that way. And that's a big piece of advice that I always give is, like, if you're so fixated on what you look like on the outside, stop working on that. Work on yourself in other ways. Like, find a hobby. Find something that brings you joy that's not centered around your looks. Mm-hmm. A big thing, and this is not really your question that you asked, but when I was a speech therapist, nobody there knew that I did social media. And at the time, I had a pretty big following. But when I would go to work, it did not matter what I looked like. It didn't matter what clothes I had on. My worth was found through the work that I did with kids. Mm-hmm. And it was always so refreshing because it was like I was living like the Hannah Montana lifestyle of, like, yeah. I would go and be online and my comments would be like, you're big, you're fat, da da da, and like that was all I was worthy of. But then as a speech therapist, this thing that I worked so hard for, this accomplishment that I had had, that was what people found like worthy, right? That was what people judged me off of. Mm-hmm. And so I think when you just like take away looks, like who are you, mm-hmm. you know, and like what are the things that you're like most proud of? And that's what you focus on because that's where confidence I think comes from. Yeah. And then it kind of comes, it's like the inside out, right? That kind of thing.
Yeah, it's all connected. I think that's such a good point because, yeah, we get so focused on like, oh my gosh, my body, my body, my body. And it's like, yeah, when you start focusing on other things, that's why like I tell so many girls, like I'm like, take a solo trip. Like that was such a good way to get out of my comfort zone. Like you said, start a hobby, like do something else like that is going to give you confidence completely outside of your body, but it is connected because then you just kind of simultaneously start to like kind of care less.
Yeah.
Because you're like, I don't care about my body looks. I just fucking went on a solo trip that scared me and like met all these people and blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. Like you just start caring less about it because it's not the forefront of your mind.
100%. And I think too, it's not realistic for us to sit here and be like, just don't think about your body, right? No. Like for women,
it will always be there.
It's always going to come up. But a big thing I remind myself when I do that and I'm like, I think about the end of my life and I'm like, am I going to look back and in this moment, like why am I giving any moments of my life to thinking about my body size. Mm-hmm. Like how silly. I always just tell myself, I'm like, silly Emma. Like, what are you worried about your stomach in these pants? Like, shut mm-hmm. up, go out the door and be fine. Like when you're an old lady, it's literally not gonna matter mm-hmm. what pants you wore today and how big your stomach looked, right? Like those things, they truly don't matter. So you can't give them the space in your mind to matter.
For sure. Has there been any time recently where your confidence has been tested? And if so, mm-hmm. how did you handle that?
So I did a couple ads with Peloton mm-hmm. and a big thing that they were pushing for this year was to show all bodies, right? That like movement isn't just for somebody who is skinny, right? Mm-hmm. And it's so crazy to me because people are online, of course, talk crap about how big I am and they're like, work out, go to the gym.
Here I am
posting an ad at the gym, working out on a treadmill, right? Mm-hmm. And they're still upset. And they still can't believe that Peloton would work with somebody that's my body size. And there's so much to that. But that's like the first time in a long time where like I like had to read comments that I'm like, wow, this is people's belief still. And I know you guys have talked about it before. It's kind of like when brands push your ad past your following to the general public, it just reminds you that like these are the beliefs of majority of people. Mm-hmm. You know, the girls who follow me who are plus size, who have like worked so hard to get past these beliefs.
Yeah, like they're your
everybody else doesn't care. Yeah. They don't care that we've worked this hard to get to this place or that a big body can work out and still be healthy, right?
Yeah.
All they see is what they want to think. So I have a hard time in those moments and I end up just turning the comments off because at the end of the day, it's my workspace. This is my office. Mm-hmm. Right. And I have to come into this workspace every day and it's on my phone and it seems like weird to think about it that way. But I have control over who I let in. And so if I know that I'm going to see these comments and it's going to affect me, then I can choose to not see them. Mm-hmm. Right. And I can work with the brand to say, first off, I don't want to see them. And I don't want girls who are reading these comments who their bodies look like mine
to affect them.
Yeah. Because I've worked so hard and I'm competent in myself majority of the days. So if these comments are affecting me, imagine the girl
that's a good point.
You know, who I was years ago, who's reading these and is thinking, well, if they think that about her, these men probably think that about me and I'm never going to find, like all those things.
For sure. So it's a big spiral.
Yeah, it's hard.
Have brands been receptive when you bring that conversation up, if you have brought that up?
For this, typically I have the control. So I turn the comments off and sometimes they'll go back in and they turn them on. Mm. So sometimes I'll try to turn them off just to see what will happen.
I'm just like, let's just see if they notice.
Yeah. But if they turn them back on, then I just tell my manager and I just explain that exactly. And just say, for my own mental health, I cannot handle this.
Yeah.
So they need to turn off and they always agree because
what are they gonna say?
Yeah, that's messed up. I would stop working with them.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it's always when it gets outside of your bubble And then you're like, oh my God. I mean, we were talking to Avery about this at breakfast one time. She did an ad and it got to like another group and the comments were wild.
Oh my gosh.
Like someone was like, what is a 600-pound lip? All this stuff. And it's like.
It's honestly comical. It's
some of them are funny. Really some of them
I'm like, okay, that was creative, right? Yeah, like I'm like, you thought of that.
Okay, like at least you're funny. Yeah. You might be mean, but you're funny.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, it's just crazy.
One of our videos of me talking on this podcast has gone pretty viral. And like the comments are just always like, it was about me talking about why I've never been in a relationship and like all my friends were. And they're like, it's because you're a literal whale. And I was like, okay, thank you. But I'm like the audacity, but like, I don't know, like you kind of just have to laugh.
Yeah, it's like silly right now that you're like, okay, it's funny. But it's like you're in a committed relationship.
Yeah, yeah.
But then you think about the girl who's watching who thinks like, oh my gosh, I'm the same size as her or I'm bigger than her and whatever. And then it's like,
And also, like, if I wasn't in a relationship and that, like, I'm sure that would have affected me for sure, too. Yeah. So
it's a whole thing.
People out there are ruthless.
Yeah. Ruthless. But I'll take that any day. I feel like this job, there's so many positives that come with it. And if we're making change in the industry, it's going to come with pushback. And I feel like I would take the few days where I feel like crap because of comments. I can take that in with knowing that there's so much change happening because we get on our platforms every day.
Yeah.
And that we are changing people's lives because it can seem so silly sometimes. But there is somebody on the other end of the screen who
needs that.
Yeah. Because I wish I had that.
Oh, 100%.
Okay. I feel like you've come such a long way in the past couple of years. What are your goals now? Where do you see yourself in 5, 10 years? What do you want to do?
I just launched merch.
Yeah. Congratulations. Yes, it's sold out, right?
Yeah. It's sold out, which I'm like, I can't believe it.
I died when Gabby was like, can you guys please buy this so we can go back to living in peace? Yeah. The boxes made Gabby everywhere. Work for me.
Literally every night. I'm like, hey, Gabby, time to pack packages. Come on over to your neighbor's house.
That's amazing, though. That's so exciting.
I think I now have a lot more respect for plus size clothing brands going through the process and how much money it takes and how much time it takes to perfect it. And it was just kind of like testing the waters, right? Because of course, having partnerships and deals is a stream of income, but we don't know what's going to be in the next few years. We don't know what's going to happen. And eventually I want to have a family and I don't know if I'm going to want to forever live my life online. I love doing it and I can't ever think of like not sharing literally every second of my life because that's what I do. But I'm like, you know, maybe when I am 10 years down the road, like, am I going to want to be doing this? So just thinking like long-term big picture, I think I did the merch to kind of see like, how did it go? How did my community receive it? Like if I wanted to eventually like launch a product in the future, what would that look like? So it went well and I learned so much from it. And I'm just like, it takes a lot to be like a real businesswoman, to like really have your own business and go from point A to point B and get a product out there. So I think that, and then I am also tapping into the modeling space, which I think is so important because when the modeling agency in LA that signed me, they posted a picture of me, or maybe I posted a picture, whatever. People were in the comments saying, finally a girl with a big belly. And at first I'm like, oh my gosh, so you guys think I have a big belly? I knew that, but right when other people say it to you, but that is so true because I was going through the agency's website and I was looking at all the curve models and I was starting to get like super insecure. And I'm like, oh my gosh, this girl who's getting booked is like 2 sizes smaller than me. Like, I think I need to lose weight. If I want to get booked, if I want to do this, I need to be her. And then I read those comments and I'm like, no, I need to be me. And I need to be in this body because there is somebody who's shopping online who needs to see a girl with a big belly in the pants because that's what their body looks like. So I think just kind of figuring out how I can build beyond just the social media space. So kind of tapping into modeling and tapping into like products that like serve my community, but still keeping the same idea in mind that I've always had is just like to create a safe space, to create safe products, to be somebody that somebody can look at and be like, oh my gosh, finally. Like, I can see myself in them.
Yeah.
No, I love that. And I think it's so smart what you said about, like, having a different body type modeling, too, because as someone who, like, used to model, too, I would get so defeated. And still sometimes I'm like, this person has literally the smallest waist I've ever seen. Like, there is an ideal as a curve plus model.
Oh, 100%.
Hourglass, flat like bigger stomach, thicker thighs, and flat stomach, flat small waist. I'm like, I'm sorry, that is just not the majority
of people
who fit that size, especially.
It's hard because I'm now seeing that. So, like, I just had a meeting with one of my agents and we're talking about the industry and it's like such a big thing that everybody's getting so much slimmer now and that also reflects in modeling. So that means that brands are also now hiring. So a lot of the brands that I wanted to work with that are on my list, they're like, we're just going to be honest with you. Like the biggest they're booking is 14. Right. And like, that's what it is. So I know I'm probably never going to be a size 14, but there are brands who now are upping their size. Right. And like I work with Nike and they're like, model is a 2X. and everybody who's there has a belly and it's fit and works out. Like Nike, those things all go together.
Yeah.
So I know that there is good things happening, but there always is that fight of like, okay, like I'm not that and I'm not going to get booked because I'm not a size 14, but that's okay. And other opportunities will come.
Yeah. But that's like such a good abundance mindset. Like,
yes,
knowing that there are other opportunities and not everything has to be for you.
Yeah, for sure. And that's, I mean, I'm working on it because it's something new and you're trying something out. I'm just kind of like, okay, like, let's just figure out how this is going to work out and just see what happens. I think my expectations are just open.
Yeah.
With anything that you try that's new, it's like good to just be like, I'm going to put the effort in. Whatever comes from it is going to be a positive.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that's what I'm trying to do with modeling because it's a hard thing to break into.
Yeah. Well, we're so excited for you. Yeah.
Dang.
I feel like you already are. No doubt in my mind.
Thanks, guys.
Oh, this was so good. Thank you so much for coming on the podcast.
Just like chatting with the fans.
I know. I wish you lived East Coast.
Guys, this rain. You guys are going to come back to LA.
Yeah.
Please.
Honestly.
Please.
No, I can't. Astrologically, it's just not a good place for me.
You found your man, so bring him to LA.
I know. But I told him, I was like, if we move there, you'll break up with me.
He's
like, what?
And okay, don't have that mindset.
And he was like, you're doing this based on your astrological lines. And I was like, yeah, I'm sorry. He's like, you're insane. And I was like, I know.
I'm glad that he calls you out on that.
Yeah, he's like, what?
Did you tell her that you...
should be another pillar for your content. My insane girlfriend.
My insane. Not your obsession with me, but my insanity. Yeah. Okay. Anyway, well, thank you for coming on. We're so glad you're here. This is so fun. We'll have to have Gabby on for part two.
Oh, for sure.
Okay. Thanks, Emma.
Thanks.